saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about thee, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, dear God, Lord, that as we examine this passage here in Jeremiah, I pray, Lord, that you will just help us to understand the word that you have for us tonight. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will help us to understand that the unexpected things that happen to us are really not unexpected. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will just touch our lives, Lord. May you touch our hearts. May you change our lives today, Lord. I pray, dear God, that if there's anyone here that has never received you as their Savior, I pray, dear God, tonight you will burden their heart to do so. We love you, dear God, with all our heart, and pray, Lord, that your word be delivered tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated at this time. You know, about 12 years ago, I had this crazy idea that I was going to go and enlist into the Army. And that's exactly what I did. I went down and enlisted as an infantryman, and they shipped me off to basic training there at Fort Benning, Georgia. Many of you know this. And after I got there, though, the first Sunday rolled around, and they put all of us into what looked like cattle cars, and it's not a luxury bus of any kind. They piled us into these cattle cars, and they took us down to the church, and down to the chapel, dropped us off. And as I went inside and sat down with all these other soldiers, a guy got up and began to preach, and he was in uniform. And it was there that I saw for the first time a chaplain, and I really began to have a burden for doing that very same thing. I knew that God was calling me into the ministry, but I didn't know where He wanted me to be at the time. And at that time, I went up to that chaplain, and I asked him, I said, what do you do? And he told me, and I said, well, how do I become one? And he told me the process, and I thought, that's a lot of work that you have to do. And I thought, God, if that's what you want me to do, then I need you to open the door and to make the path plain for me. And you know what? I went back and began the process to become a chaplain in the Army. And you know, about 7 years later, 3 schools, 4 college degrees, 5 Army schools, 3 internships, and over 4,000 classroom hours. I finally got there. I was in my last semester of school. The light was finally at the end of the tunnel. The board was getting ready to meet that summer. I was preparing to be ordained as a pastor. Life was going well. Everything that I felt God was calling me to do at the time was unfolding, and it was right there in my hands. All of that long, hard work, all of those years, every year that I've been married to Jennifer, I have been gone at least 3 months to a year, every year of our marriage, because the Army has required it of me. Through different training, through deployments, through all these different things, I thought, all right, God, I'm finally here, and I'm ready to do what you've called me to do. I was in the home stretch. And then one day, the unexpected happened. Every now and then I would get these cysts in my wrists and in other places. And one day I got one, and my wife began to pester me. And she began to say, you need to go see the doctor. Well, I don't know if it's like some of you guys in here or some of you girls in here that I really don't like going to see the doctor. You know, I usually will just fight off whatever ailment I've got, and I'm okay. I'll just get past it. I don't go see a doctor very often, and really, for the most part, I stay pretty healthy. I've always done very well physically, never really been all that sick ever in my life, and she kept making these appointments, and I kept missing them. And finally, in order to appease my wife, because I wasn't ready for another fight with her, I said, okay, I'm going to go see the doctor. And so I go that day, and the doctor looks at me, and he says, you know what? He says, it's just fluid underneath the skin. It's really no big deal, but if it will help you out, I will send you to go see a specialist this afternoon. So I went, just doing what I was told to do, and I got there that afternoon. The specialist looks at me, and he does this x-ray on me, and he comes back, and he says, Mr. Holder, he says, I hate to tell you this, but he says, you have a tumor. You have a tumor. He says, you're coming in tomorrow for pre-op surgery, and then you're going to have it removed. And the next day after that, I went in, they cut an incision in my waist, and they took out this tumor. And you know what? For the next 4 days were the longest 4 days of my life. Because when you have a tumor, you don't know what's going to happen, do you? Is it cancer? Is it not cancer? You sit and you pray and you ask God, God, what are you trying to do here? What are you trying to teach me here? We pray that it's not cancer. And then that Monday rolled around and the doctor called me and I went into his office and sat down in that little room. And he walks in and he says, you know what? He says, I hate to tell you this, but you have cancer. You have cancer. And after they did a CT scan on me, they said, not only do you have cancer, but it's stage 2 and it's spread through your spine. And he said, it's an aggressive form of cancer, and if not treated properly, he says, you'll be dead within a year. How do you take something like that? How do you take the unexpected like that? I'm 29 years old at the time. I've got a wife and 3 kids to take care of. I can't be dealing with something like this. But cancer, what do you do? It's the unexpected in life. You know, I had all sorts of questions at that time. I asked God, God, why? Why would you allow something like this to happen to me? Why would you bring me so close to accomplishing what I believe to be your will, only to leave me with this? I began to question God. I began to pray and God asked God, why, God, what is your will in my life? Why would you allow these things to happen to me? And he brought me to this passage, and this passage is what I'd like to share with you tonight. I was very scared at the time, and I was very hopeless. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to feel. I didn't know what to do. I know some of you in this room have experienced what I went through at the time. Some of you have had cancer in this room. Some of you have it now. But you know what? All of us have experienced some type of trial in our life. We've all lost someone that we love. Even death, when you're 90 years old and you're on your deathbed, and when you die at 90 or 95 or 100 years old, even then, when it's expected, death is still unexpected, isn't it? It's still unexpected. Any type of tragedy that happens in our life is always unexpected. So this evening, I'd like to share with you, what does God have to say about dealing with the unexpected things that happen in our life? Because you know what? The unexpected is going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen sometime in your life if it's not already happened. There is something that you're dealing with that was unexpected. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. We see here in Jeremiah that the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, the word of the Lord came to me and said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. You know what I want you to realize first here is that God comes to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, look, you know what? Before you were ever conceived, I knew you. That's a powerful thought. Before you were ever conceived, I knew you. And when you were formed and when you were conceived in the belly of your mother's womb, I came in and I formed you into who you are. I made you just the way that you are. I gave you your strengths. I gave you your weaknesses. I gave you your abilities. I made you into who you are today. And not only did I make you, he says, but look next. He says, and I sanctified you. He says, I have set you apart for a purpose. I have ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. And he tells them this as a child. He gives him purpose in his life. And then what is Jeremiah's response to God? In verse number 6 he says, then said I, ah Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am just a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go and do all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He tells him, he says, you know what, I have set you apart for a purpose, Jeremiah. I have sanctified you and I have given you a purpose. I have made you a prophet and I'm going to send you forth. Jeremiah, he looked at himself and he says, I don't have the ability to do what you're asking me to do, God. I don't have the strength. I don't have the words to say. I am not qualified to do what you're asking me to do. But what did God say to him? He says, you know what, Jeremiah? You need to trust me. Trust me, Jeremiah, because I will put the words in your mouth. In verse number 9, he says, and behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I will give you the words that you need to say. I will equip you to do the job that I have called you to do. In verse number 10, he sees what he's called to do. He sets them over the nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. And you know what? I love the next couple of verses here, what God does with Jeremiah. He comes to Jeremiah and he tells him, he says, you know what, Jeremiah? He says, the nation of Israel has turned their back against me. They've turned their back against me. They have worshipped other idols. In verse number 16, we see here that they have turned unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. They are full of their own wickedness. And because they hate me and you represent me, they're going to hate you too. They're going to turn against you. They're going to fight against you. But you know what he says? Look at verse number 8. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. He tells them what's going to happen. He says, you know what? The nation of Israel is going to fall into captivity. I'm going to allow them to fall into captivity and be carried away into Babylon because of their sin. And you know what? You're going to deliver my word to them and they're not going to listen to you. They're going to fight against you. All these things are going to happen to you in your life. He gives them a preview of this. And what does he say in verse 19? He says, and they shall fight against thee. But you know what? I love that next part. But they shall not prevail. They shall not prevail. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I am with thee. You know, Jeremiah's life is really no different than our own life. Jeremiah is very much like we are because we are made of flesh and bones, just like Jeremiah was. And you know, when I look at this passage, and this passage spoke volumes to me during my time of difficulty. Because when I look at verse number 5, I think of my own life and I think, you know what, if God knew Jeremiah before he was ever conceived, you know what? God knows me too. God knows me too. You know what? There are no accidents in life, are there? There are no accidents. When you were conceived in the belly of your mother's womb, it was no accident. God knew that was going to happen. God knew that you were going to be formed that day. And not only are we formed, but by our own, you know, we don't form ourselves, but you know what? God says, I came down and I formed you with my own hands. I formed you in the belly of your mother's womb. I made you. You know, I love in the psalmist says in Psalm chapter number 139, verse 14, he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. In John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we read, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know, God is in the business of making things, isn't he? He made all things. There are no accidents. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God not only created this physical world that we live in, he not only created each and every one of us, and everything that is made by God's hand. But you know what? In that next part of that verse in John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, in him was not just this physical life, but in him was the spiritual life. This life that comes by the light of all men, through Jesus Christ himself. He has given us life. You know, God ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet. He ordained him to be a prophet. He set him apart for a purpose. You know, when I look at my own life, I think if I am not just an accident that took place. If God knew the day that I was going to be born, and not only did He know me, but He formed me, you know, I can be content with who I am. You know what? There's a lot of things that I wish that I could do differently. You know, there's a lot of things that I wish I knew more about. You know, I look at my brother, and when all these years that we were growing up, he would put me to sleep every night talking about computers. I mean, it was just some other language that was going through his head, and he would put me to sleep every night talking about this. And as I grew up, I thought, I don't need to know any of that. And now, you know what, every time I turn around, I need something done, and I can't do it myself. And I wish I knew more about it. I'm always having to rely on other people like John to come and bail me out and fix things for me around here. But you know what? I wish I knew things. I wish I was smarter in some areas. I wish I was smarter. You know, I'd say I wish I was taller, but not really. You know, I'm tall enough, so, you know, but some of you shorter people, right? You might wish that you were taller, right? You know, we sometimes look at ourselves and we think, God, why do I have to be this way? Why did you make me this way? But you know what? This Bible right here, the Word of God says, you have been beautifully made. You know what? God has formed you into who you are. He gave you your abilities. He gave you your strengths and your weaknesses. He made us all different. I'm glad that we're not all the same, right? I'm glad we're not the same. God made you into who you are, and you can be content. You know, I ask my kids all the time because they get to grumbling, right? They get to grumbling about life's not fair. And even my own dad, I apparently used to say it all the time too. And my dad would tell me the other day, he says, you know, he says, I think I have a piece of paper around here somewhere that you, when you were a teenager, you listed out like 20 things on a piece of paper about why your life was so unfair. I actually kind of like to see that now. But you know what? It's right. It's our human nature because we're never satisfied, are we? We're never satisfied with what we have. You know, to be content is to be happy with what we have and who we are. Because God has made us this way. And you know what? I can be happy in that. And you know, so I know that God, He knew the day that I would be born. He knew the day that I was conceived. He formed me in the belly of my mother's womb. He made me into who I am. And then you know what? God gave me a purpose. God gave you a purpose. God has given all of us a purpose. You know, I love that verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And this is one of my wife's favorite verses. She loves to quote this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You know what? We have purpose, don't we? You know, and I pray as Christians, our purpose is His purpose, isn't it? Our purpose is His purpose. And you know, I'm glad that, you know what, no matter what we do, no matter what your job is in life, God has given you purpose. He has given you direction, and He wants you to do everything that you can right where God has brought you at. You know, oftentimes we look around and we grumble and we wish, you know what, I wish I could be doing this job over here, or I wish I could be doing this over here, or I wish I lived over here. You know, we have this shoulda, woulda, coulda attitude, right? The shoulda, woulda, coulda attitude. I wish I could have done this. I should have done that. And we live a life of regrets, don't we? We look back and think, I wish I would have done so many things differently. But you know what? You are right where you are right now. And you know what? God wants you to take this time and say, hey, I have called you to a purpose. Let's get busy about doing it, right? He called Jeremiah to a purpose. And you know what? Oftentimes in our life, when we're called to a purpose, sometimes it's greater than we are, isn't it? It's greater than we are. There's a lot of things that happen to us in life that's greater than we are. When this unexpected thing happened to me, you know what? I didn't think I could do it on my own. I knew I couldn't do it on my own. It was greater than I was. This trial in my life was bigger than I. But you know what? We serve a God that is bigger than everything. We serve a God that is bigger than everything. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, it says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. He can do anything that He well pleases. And you know what? We need to be about what God has called us to do. We don't have to be afraid because, God, even with Jeremiah, he says, when we look at God and say, God, it is too great for me. I cannot handle this trial that you've called me to. You know what God will do? He will give you the tools to do it, won't he? He will put the words in your mouth to be able to go forth. If you're called to be a missionary and you don't think that you can do it, you know what? God will give you the words to say that. If you know what? All of us are called to be a witness to those that are around us. You know what? It's nervous sometimes to walk up to a total stranger, to walk up to someone that we work with, walk up to a family member that is lost and is dying, and tell them about Christ. Tell them about the gospel. You know what? If you don't think you can do it, you need to pray. And ask God, say, God, I cannot do this. And you know what God's going to do? God's going to give you the words. He is going to answer your prayer, and He will give you the words to say. Because you are called according to His purpose. He will equip you with what you need to do the job that He's called you to do. And you know what? Even as the Holy Spirit, as Christians, indwells within us, the Holy Spirit guides us, doesn't He? You know, I love that passage that says, you know, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? He's not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power, right? Have you seen the power of God work in your life? I've seen the power of God work in my life. I've seen other people around me. I've seen God answer direct prayers around me. I know that God is powerful. I know when I read the Word of God, I see the power of God in the Bible. And then it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love. Did you know that Jesus Christ loves you? You know that God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son for us. Right? That's the ultimate expression of love. You know what? I don't have to be afraid because I have a powerful God. I don't have to be afraid because you know what? I have the love of Christ in my heart. I know that Jesus Christ loves me. And you know what? I know that no matter what happens, He is going to take care of me. And then it says that He's not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of a power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. And I think the spirit of a sound mind, I think of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living in within us. And you know what? How often in our lives have we not been able to think clearly, but then God gives us the answer, doesn't He? He gives us direction. The Holy Spirit guides us, doesn't He? He gives us the words to say. He tells us the direction He wants us to go. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. When the world looks at us and when we should have fear, how is it that we as Christians can have peace? I read through like the Fox's Book of Martyrs, right? And we read about these stories of these martyrs and of these missionaries, of these great men of the faith that have come before us. And as they were persecuted, and as they were crucified, and as they were burned at the stake, and as they're burning, and literally their flesh is falling off their bones, you know what they're doing? They're standing there, and they have no pain. They're standing there preaching the Word of God to the people around them. They're singing the praises of God out of their mouth. And there's a story of one martyr, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but I remember the story. And because so many Christians were singing as they were burning them on the stake, they took this one man and they literally cut out his tongue so that he couldn't do that. And still, as he's there, he still is able to speak the Word of God. He's still able to sing the praises that God gives to him. It was a miracle. And you know what? The Spirit gives us comfort, doesn't He? When the trials of life are too great, God will help us. You know, when I look at this passage and I look at Jeremiah and I look at my own life, I kind of wish sometimes that God would come to me and say, like He did with Jeremiah, and kind of give me a preview of what my life's going to be like. Tell me what's going to happen later. But, you know, sometimes we don't really want to know, do we? We don't want to know. It's more, I think, almost more of a curse that these prophets had to live with, right? Because they knew what was going to happen and there was nothing they could do to stop it. With Jeremiah, though, but what we realize, though, is that God, He was telling Jeremiah, look, bad things are going to happen. Unexpected things are going to happen in your life, but you know what? They're really not unexpected. Because all things are ordained by God. You know, I look at like a book. I love to read when I was a teenager especially. It's been years now since I've read any, but I really enjoyed reading Louis L'Amour books, you know, the Western books, and as a teenager, they're great. And, you know, it's always about, every book's the same. I mean, they just change the name of the guy, and it's always about a cowboy that's always in danger, and he saves a girl in the end, right? But that's what guys like, right? We need an adventure, right? We need someone to save. But I would read these Louis L'Amour books, and, you know, and it was fascinating because when you start at the beginning of the book, you know, you're reading through it, and as you turn each page of the book, you turn another day in the life of this character, and you're living the life of this character. And you don't know what's going to happen the next day on the next page of the book. You live each day as you turn each page of that book. But the author, does he know what's going to happen at the end of the book? He does, doesn't he? He wrote the book. He knows what's going to happen at the end of the book. And you know what? Our life is the same. Our life is like a book, you know. We're born and we begin here at the beginning. But you know, God is the God. He is the author of all time, isn't he? He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen 10 minutes from now, 10 years, 100 years from now. There is nothing that's ever going to happen that God does not know about. God is the author of all time. But you know what? We are living in a page inside this book. God knows what's going to happen on the next page. God knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. How do we know this? How do we know that? You know, I think of the story about Peter in the Bible. You know, Peter comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, he says, you know what, Jesus? He says, don't say those things. You know, Jesus was talking about how he was going to be going to the cross and about how he would have to give his life. And Peter tells him, he says, you know what, don't say things like that, Jesus. He says, you know what, and if that's going to be the case, you know what, I will go to the cross with you. I will lay down my life for you. And what does Jesus tell him? He says, Peter, you know what, before the end of the night, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. As I think about that passage, that story, did Jesus make Peter deny him? Did Jesus make Peter deny him? No, he didn't. Peter did it on his own free will. It was his own choice that he made. But how did Jesus know that he was going to do that? Because he's God in the flesh, isn't he? He's God of all time. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen the day after that. Jesus knew because he's already seen all of time. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that was going to happen. Peter, he didn't know it. He had the free choice to make the decisions that he did. And still, he made the decision by his own free will. But Jesus already knew that he was going to make that choice. Wrap your mind around that. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? But you know what? There's a lot of peace in that. I don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to believe that, you know what? God's in control. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Which means that, you know what? I can trust Him. I can trust Him. I can believe that, you know what? No matter what happens tomorrow, God is going to take care of me. You know, that awful day that I sat there in that doctor's office and he told me that I had cancer and that, you know what? If I didn't get treated, that I could be dead within a year. Did God wake up that day surprised that the doctors told me that? Was it a surprise to God? Did God find out when the doctor did his examination? No. The doctor didn't inform God. God already knew that was going to happen. He knew that day that I would stand there in that office and that doctor would deliver that news to me. It was no surprise to God. You know what? That means that there are no unexpected things that happen to us in life. When tragedy strikes your life, when something comes into your life that's unexpected, you know what? When you woke up that day and that event took place, was it a surprise to God? No, it wasn't. God knew that it was going to happen. God knew that it was going to happen that day. But you know what? There are no accidents, are there? Even death itself is not an accident. Death itself is always right on time. It's always right on time. And you know, as a soldier in the military, that was a lot of comfort to me. Because I knew that, you know what? It is appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment, right? It's an appointment. You know, God knows the day that He's going to call you home. He knows. Which means that, you know what, today I can live. I can live today with knowing that, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do. I can do everything. I can try to escape death. But you know what? When God says it's time to go, it's time to go, isn't it? God's going to take you home. So you know what? I can live today knowing that, you know what? Tomorrow is going to take care of the things of itself, just like it says in Matthew. And you know what? As a soldier, and I would have soldiers that would come in, and really it weighed heavy on their hearts, because I would have, you know, we would have a convoy go out the gates, and at one, you know, I'd been there 3 weeks into my deployment. We had a convoy go out, and we had an IED hit a convoy right outside our gate, and we had a couple soldiers die. But then later on that day, I had a couple soldiers come to me and say, "Chaplain, we need to talk to you, because you know what? Our convoy was supposed to go out first, and it got canceled. Those people that died, those soldiers that died today, that should have been me. That should have been me." And now all of a sudden they realize, you know what? I need to know. I need to know. How do I deal with death? How do I deal with the unexpected? They weren't ready to meet death. They weren't ready for the unexpected things that were going to happen to them in their life. And you know what? Many of them became so afraid to get back up in those convoys, to get back up behind those guns, and to go back outside that wire again. They were scared to death because they realized that they had just escaped death just barely. And they were afraid to do it again. But you know what? The Word of God says, we don't have to be afraid, we. We don't have to be afraid of their faces. We don't have to be afraid of the people that are around us, the people that want to cause us harm, the unexpected things that are going to happen into our life that we have no control over. We don't have to be afraid of those things. Because you know what? God, He knows it's going to happen to us tomorrow. He knows it's going to happen to us today, the day after that, and 10 years from now. And you know what? That gives me hope and peace. And you know what? As a chaplain, I was able to share these things with these soldiers and tell them, hey, look, you know what? God says it's okay. You know what? You need to live today for what today, for what God has given you. And you know, when God says it's time to go home, it's time to go. You can get up and know that, you know what? Get behind and do what God has called you to do. And right now, God has placed you here in this place to do a job and to do what your nation and what God has called you to do. But you know what? That applies to all of us, doesn't it? God has given each and every one of us a purpose. And you know what? Sometimes that purpose seems overwhelming, doesn't it? It seems to be overwhelming, but we can do it with God. We can do it with God. You know, I think of this, there's a story about a general in the Civil War, General William Nelson, a Union general in the Civil War. He was consumed with the battles in Kentucky, with a brawl ended up in being shot mortally in his chest. He had faced many battles, but the fatal blow came while he was relaxing with his men. As such, he was caught fully unprepared, and as his men ran up the stairs to help him, the general had just one phrase: "Send forth to get the chaplain, because I have never been saved or baptized." He had never, as an adolescent or as a young man, accepted Christ as his Savior. He did not, and his wounds did not stop him or slow him down. He had been through battle after battle. And you know what? It wasn't until the very end of his life that he did what? He got his priorities straight, didn't he? There was only one thing on his mind when tragedy took place, and that was, he needed Christ. He needed Christ. And 30 minutes later, he was dead. You know, in Ecclesiastes, it says, "The word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity is vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose." And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, he says, "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." You know, it's interesting as he goes through, he talks about how There is nothing new under the sun. And as we look at the words here in the Word of God, all is vanity. You know, we live this life. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. You know, we do the same thing over and over again. We go to work. We get married. We have children. We grow. We grow old and then we die. One generation comes and another generation passes away. And you know what? The fascinating thing, I think that's kind of depressing, isn't it? That's kind of depressing. And you know what he says, though? He says this verse over and over and over again throughout Ecclesiastes. He says, you know what? It is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. What is he saying here? He's saying, you know what? You cannot change the unexpected things that happen to you in life. And you know what? When these things happen, we need to realize that, you know what? Today is the day that the Lord has made, right? And I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Today is the day that we need to say to God, God, you know what? I'm going to accept who I am. I'm going to accept where I am and the position that you've placed me in. And you know what, God? No matter what happens, I know that you're going to take care of me tomorrow. And you know what? No matter what happens, you're in control and there's nothing I can do to change that. So I'm simply going to trust you. And today I'm going to praise your name. Today I'm going to eat. Today I'm going to be married. Today I'm going to enjoy my children. I'm going to enjoy my wife. I'm going to enjoy my work. I'm going to enjoy even the trials and tribulations that you send my way, right? That's what James says, doesn't he? He says, how can we find joy in our trials and tribulations? But you know what? We can as Christians. You know what? As I sat there in those offices each and every day, because that doctor, he told me, he says, you know what? He says, you're going to have to go through several months of radiation treatments. And you know, every day, and I thought, God, what are you trying to do to me here? And they said, you're going to have to go to radiation every day for several months. And you know what? It's going to make you sleep. You're going to be extremely tired, and you're going to sleep for 12 hours a day. And I thought, God, I'm in my last semester of school. I'm taking 18 hours a semester. You know, the Army's got my time. The church has my time. I have time to spend with my family. My kids need my time. I have all these other things. I sleep 4 hours a day. I've slept 4 hours a day for the last 10 years of my life to get to this point that you've called me to, or what I thought you had called me to. How can I go through something like this? And you know what? I was very depressed at the time until God brought me this passage. And you know what? Then I had a little bit of hope. And you know what? As I went in and I said, God, I'm going to embrace this burden that you've given to me. Because you know what? Maybe you haven't called me to be a chaplain. Maybe you've called me for a different purpose. And you know what? Oftentimes we take our own will and we make it God's will, don't we? We take our own will and we say, you know what, God, this is my will. We think it's God's will. We make it God's will, but it's really our will. And you know, I'd gone through all of this schooling and all of this training because I thought it was God's will. But in the end, I'm thinking, maybe it's not God's will, because maybe this is really what I wanted to do. Maybe this is what I want, and there's nothing that even God Himself is going to do that's going to stop me from doing it. Well, you know what? God said, wait a second here. Who's in control? Are you in control or am I in control? And you know what I realized then? God, maybe you haven't called me to do this. Maybe you've called me to do something else. Maybe you're going to take me in a year from now. What is my purpose? Today is my purpose. And each and every day I began to look for opportunities to worship God and to serve Him. And you know what? I would go in and I would sit there in those room, in that room when I would go get radiation done every day. And there were other people that would sit in there. And you know what? Many of them that have cancer are completely hopeless, aren't they? They're hopeless because they're dying, but they're still alive. And you know, oftentimes, you know, I could have probably curled up in a corner and you know what? Had a pity party for myself. And you know what? It would have been perfectly okay. People would have said, you know what? That's okay. That's all right. You've got cancer. You're dying. You know what? These tragic things that have happened in your life, you know what? No one could handle what you're going through right now. And it's okay for you to feel that way. You know what? And we kind of feed that to each other, don't we? We feed it to each other. But you know what? God says, hey, look, these people need some light, don't they? They need some life. They're dying physically and spiritually. But you know what? I was different because God had saved me. God had saved me. He had given me the life, eternal life. And you know what? With that came hope. And as I went in and sat down with those people, I began to share my story with them. Began to share my own testimony with them. And you know what? I would go in each and every day and I would smile. And even though I didn't feel like it, I would still smile and I would have joy in my heart. And you know what? I would try to be as uplifting and as encouraging as I could. And you know what? And the Holy Spirit gave that to me. He gave me joy. And people would look at me and they'd say, "What are you doing? How can I have what you have? How can I have that?" And you know what? I pray that God would let me be a blessing to other people and give me that opportunity. And each and every day I sought that. And you know what? In the end, after it was all said and done, I'm cancer free now. I'm done. You know, God has taken it away. It's not come back. And you know what? It's done. And even in that, I didn't know whether I was going to be able to go into the military, but still, several months later, my packet went before the board, and somehow they completely overlooked all of it. And you know what? God allowed me to become a chaplain. But you know what I knew then? It wasn't because of my own will. It was because it was God's will. You know, God has given each and every one of us a purpose. You know, is the unexpected really unexpected in our lives? It's not. It's not. But when the unexpected comes, how are you going to handle it? Are you depressed? Are you sad? Are you hopeless? These are all natural feelings that as people will come. But we don't have to be that way, do we? Because we have a God that is greater than we are. We have the Spirit of God living in each and every one of us, to those of us that have accepted Him as our Savior. What is God calling you to do? What is He calling you to do? What unexpected things in your life are you dealing with? And how are you handling it? Are you allowing God to bring you peace? Are you allowing God to be in control? You know what? This morning I would challenge you to embrace what God has given you. Embrace what God has given you. Embrace where you are right now. Embrace who you are. Because God has formed you, God knew you, and God already knows everything about you and everything that's going to happen to you. And in that, we can have peace. But you know what? That peace only comes to those that have believed in Him. And you know what? If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, then you know what? None of these things are going to come. You will not have peace in your life. And you know what? If you don't have peace in your life, you know what? If you're struggling with things, I would probably examine where you are right now with God. What is your relationship right now with God? The world that is lost out there, they don't understand these things. They don't understand how you can have peace. They don't understand that. But as Christians, we can have true peace, can't we? We can have true joy. But it only comes through accepting Him as our personal Savior. And if you've not done that today, I encourage you to come forward and accept Him so that you too can know His peace. Will you bow your heads with me at this time as we begin to close our service? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, I just want to pray and just thank You, Lord, for the blessing that You have given to us. We thank You, Lord, for each and every one that's here tonight, Lord, and I pray, Lord, a special blessing upon them. I pray, Lord, that You will just help us as we go through our life, Lord. And as we face these challenges in our life, Lord, these things that come up that are unexpected, these unexpected events, Lord, these challenges, Lord, that we face, these trials and these tribulations, I pray, dear God, Lord, that You will help us to remember that You are in control. And that as we read through Jeremiah, that we will just embrace these words that You have. And that we will not only hear it, but we will live it, Lord. It will be a part, we will write it upon the tables of our hearts. I pray, dear God, Lord, and just thank You. I thank You, Lord, for making me into who I am today. I'm not perfect, Lord, by any means. But I pray each and every day that I strive to do what's right. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that as I go through this life, I pray, Lord, that You will help me. Help me to seek after You. Help me to have a heart like David's, Lord, and to seek after Your own heart. I pray, Lord, that You will just make my path clear. Make all of our paths clear, Lord. You have called each and every one of us to a purpose. Help us to find it, Lord. Help us to embrace it. Give us the words to say, Lord. Give us the strength to go forward and do what You've called us to do, even when it hurts. Even when we don't think we can do it, Lord. Because we know that without a doubt, You will give us the words to say. You will help us to stand against all those that come against us. For nothing will prevail, for You are with us. We love You, dear God, with all our heart, and pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You, that they will come to know You tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page 184.